Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
If you start a conversation about O.J. Simpson and you begin by talking about what a great tailback he was, initially people are confused.
O.J. probably is one of the best football players that ever played this game, and last week he announced his retirement, but he's been doing a lot of acting, so I'm sure that he's going to continue to be in the public eye.
Norbert!
Hiya, buddy!
Hey!
Doc says I should be on my bean and as good as new in a week.
And back on the force.
Norbert! That's wonderful!
Police will continue to investigate the brutal slaying of Simpson's ex-wife, Nicole Simpson, and her friend, 25-year-old Ronald Goldman.
At the time that this murder took place, O.J. was at home awaiting to get into a limousine to take him to the airport on a trip in Chicago.
3 seconds. Violation called.
This is a Channel 5 News special report.
There is a rather amazing story developing in Los Angeles this hour where California Highway Patrol is in pursuit of a white Ford Bronco, a car that was reported to be one that might contain O.J. Simpson and a friend earlier today.
This week at the O.J. Simpson trial, the infamous bloody glove was finally introduced into evidence, and O.J. didn't help his case any by blurting out, "There it is, I've been looking all over for that thing."
It's no disguise. It makes no sense. It doesn't fit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
In a brilliant move during closing arguments, Simpson attorney Johnny Cochran put on the knit cap prosecutors say O.J. wore the night he committed the murders. Although O.J. may have hurt his case when he suddenly blurted out, hey, easy with that. That's my lucky stabbing hat.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder.
O.J. O.J. was big. That's right. Black people too happy, white people too mad. If O.J. wasn't famous, he'd be in jail right now. If O.J. drove a bus, he wouldn't even be O.J. He'd be Orenthal, the bus-driving murderer.
When Chris and I broke up, the juice was there for me every night. It's like he's not really the juice anymore. We gotta get you dressed, juice. Juice, juice, a will? Juice. Juice. Juice.
Hey, I ran into O.J. Simpson the other night. How about that?
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions on just about everything. So, this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So, God bless. Take care.
Mitch Trubisky is the number one rated free agent quarterback. Boy, are we living in some strange times. I'm just saying. Hey, take care. And let's pray for those Ukrainians. Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. Hey, take care. I'm getting my shot this week. Get your COVID shot. I'm just saying, COVID-19 is still out there.
Damn! Jeffrey Toobin? At least Pee-wee Herman was in an X-rated movie theater. I'm just saying.
Hey, X-World, it's me, yours truly. Well, today is all about fantasy football. I'm 2-0 now. I wish Justin Fields the very best, but this kid, Bajan, he's ready to be a pro quarterback. I'm just saying. Good luck.
And that's that.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Jim. Here we go. Here we go, Jim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Excellent work by Chris Tannehill, as always. It is Parkins and Spiegel on The Score. Spieg's out today. I'm actually out tomorrow, so we'll be back together on Monday's show. Craig Counsell will join the show tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Biggest thing, biggest legacy of the Tyson Bagent era that O.J. Simpson said his name? Maybe? Maybe?
Like, that was the thing, too. Like, O.J. did not have a lot of Bears thoughts. Bears not on O.J.'s radar.
No.
All the times I watched those videos, I hope we got a Bears nugget. We never really did until almost the very end there. But we found out he was part of the Bagency.
He was a part of the Bagency. I mean, yeah, Tyson Bagent, undrafted to NFL career. He's got two wins under his belt. But O.J. Simpson, knowing who he was, that might be there. people are going to fall all over themselves. And is it complicated? It's not complicated. The guy was a murderer, now he's dead, and that's the legacy. But that it's Malcolm Gladwell, right? This was at the start of that, Tanny, at the beginning of that piece. He was talking about, like, if you started a conversation with someone and you began talking about how good he was as a football player, people would look at you confused, potentially. That is true. Like, it's obviously well before any of our time, but O.J. Simpson, the only guy ever to rush for 2,000 yards in a 14-game season. That's crazy. MVP of the league. He was a top four finisher for MVP 4 years in a row. He was one of the greatest running backs of all time. Led the league in rushing 4 different years. So an absolutely spectacular football player that led him to superstardom, that led him to the Hollywood career. And then, of course, he became known for being a murderer.
Do you remember watching any of them?
Any of the movies?
No, any of, like, his tape? Because you didn't see him live, right?
No. I mean, he retired. He retired in 79.
I mean, yeah. I haven't watched a lot of his tape. I didn't see him live either, obviously. But, like, what was his best running attribute? Was he, like, good at cutting back? Was he a good slasher?
Yeah.
What was he?
Yeah, more of a slashback kind of guy. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So we should have seen it coming. Is basically.
I mean, I did. I'm like, when is Shane ever inquisitive about a sports opinion? You know what I mean? Like,
I meant with OJ. because of the cutbacks.
I always confuse the two. Yeah. Myself, Shane and OJ.
That deserved a rim shot, but that's okay.
Thanks, Chuck.
Yeah. You know, I'm young, but remember being upset that the NBA finals were taken off the air. But the OJ Made in America documentary, Shane said that he had never seen it, which you got to watch it. It's an incredible accomplishment. And so I genuinely think you would love it. But one of the things that gets brought back, and people that are older than us would remember this, and obviously we know that it captivated the nation, but 95 million people watched The Chase. It's not like The Chase was a scheduled event. It's not like there was Twitter to let you know. Like, 95 million people is a little bit less than the Super Bowl. And that is for an event that just happened. I know all the networks broke into it. I know there were fewer entertainment options back then. I knew, you know, you're tuning into the nightly news or you're turning into the NBA finals. You know, you go in and watch it, and everything got bigger numbers back then. But 95 million people watched The Chase, and 150 million people watched The Verdict. So that's way more than watched the Super Bowl.
That's more than half the country in 1994. Population in 1994 was 263.4 million.
Yeah. So 150 million people tuned in for The Verdict. What type of event today would get 150 million people to tune into it? Would it have to be, and I'm not even kidding, would it have to be like from the movies, like a Don't Look Up, Armageddon, Deep Impact, like the world is literally ending?
I think if, like,
type of event.
If Princess Kate died, something like that. I think you have to go that global.
But I'm talking about in America.
Yeah, I think in America you might get 100 million people watching that coverage or that funeral.
Well, 100 million people watch the Super Bowl. Like 150, okay. Because the Super Bowl is like 110, 120 million people.
It would have to be coverage of a presidential assassination. Or proof of aliens.
Can you look up what proof of aliens? Okay, right. So something we've never seen before. Can you look up what JFK's, what like news did the night of the JFK assassination or broadcast of a funeral? Like,
let me call Aaron Rodgers.
No, yeah, thank you.
I mean, is it safe to say though that those days are over because
that's
of
what I'm
our smartphones and people will be watching live streams and on Twitter and everything? Like, we'll never actually
have
data
like that.
Yeah,
right.
It's truly a unique time in our history.
Yes, a truly unique time. But like a show-stopping event to get people to tune in to an event.
Because the verdict was scheduled.
51.3 million homes watched the White House confirmation of the death.
Of JFK's death?
51.3 million homes.
That's so crazy, man.
81% of U.S. television homes had their sets on as the body arrived at the cemetery.
Sure, right. Less people had television.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So like a presidential assassination with everybody having TV tuning in for that announcement. Yeah, maybe. But I honestly think it might have to be something like that. Because, I mean,
like when the next Civil War breaks out, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like when the Battle of, Granite City kicks off the next Civil War and people are tuned in, they want to watch that first battle, you know?
It's just a pretty staggering number to think about. 150 million people, and to Shane's point, fewer people in the country back then, so more than half the country. So call it 350 million a day just to keep the math easy. So that's more than 175 million people that would need to tune in live for an event. When it came out that there was a special announcement that SEAL Team 6 had killed Bin Laden, that was late at night. And it was starting to break on Twitter, very early days of Twitter. Like, we knew what Obama was going to announce. But because Twitter was still early and it was so late at night, the numbers weren't huge. It was big, but it was not a huge thing. Like, everyone after the fact says, oh, I remember where I was when Obama addressed the nation that night. Not everybody actually addressed the nation or watched that address live because of the nature of how that story broke. It would have to be like, yeah, it's at 8 o'clock, the president is going to make an announcement that's going to impact, you know, the country and the world. And then at like 4 p.m., the scoop would leak. We've discovered alien life form, and they're coming for us.
Okay,
then everyone would tune in.
I've got another one for you.
Okay.
So Super Bowl, this past Super Bowl was 123.7 million viewers, according to Nielsen.
Yeah.
July 20th, 1969, the moon landing.
Yeah.
Estimated between 125 million and 115 million Americans watched the first steps in the moon.
I mean, let's be honest. It would be a bear Super Bowl. It would be another Bear Super Bowl.
Or like the Hunger Games. Like if the Hunger Games turned out to be real, and like they just said, hey, we're doing that. Two people from each state go kill each other. It would have to be that.
All right, but I think like we've got a shot at man walking on Mars in our lifetime.
Probably. Within the next 10 years, I'd assume.
Right? I think we got a pretty good shot of that happening. More people will watch O.J. Simpson be found not guilty of murder than watch a man walk on Mars?
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so. If the moon landing got 150 million... And O.J. got, what'd you say for the verdict?
No, O.J. got 150 million. You said
sort of the moon landing. Oh, between 125 and 150 million. Oh, and that was 1969.
Yeah, but I feel like people are like less interested in science. We got space tourism that is happening at this point. The moon, it was the first time we conquered space exploration. This would not be the first time.
Who would we have to send on a one-way trip to Mars to get people to tune in more than they did for
The Rock?
OJ. The Rock? That was your first one?
I think he's like the most popular person.
No, that's a good call.
I was thinking Trump.
I was going to say Ryan Seacrest is up there hosting.
Yeah.
Another gig.
Like if we sent Donald Trump on a one-way trip to Mars.
Oh, yeah, I understand. The Rock people would want to come back.
Exactly.
I was going for a universal show. Yeah. I was going like universal appeal.
I'm trying to produce it up here.
Yeah, exactly.
Ryan Seacrest goes up to Mars and builds a TV studio.
Absolutely.
Like Matt Damon growing potatoes in The Martian.
Like this guy, he's a botanist. This guy gets every job. He gets Wheel of Fortune. He gets to colonize Mars.
Could he syndicate his radio show from up there?
It's only botany. Okay.
Taylor Swift. If Taylor Swift just went to space, that might be it.
If Taylor Swift...
Just let her orbit for a little while and then bring her back. That would outdo it.
Yeah, if Taylor Swift went to space to do a concert, to like release her new album from space.
Oh, man, she's got Brittany Mahomes up there with her. Yeah. Oh, so
no, that would be the one-way trip to Mars.
It's just an amazing thing. Like, 150 million people.
Gio, the softball play-by-play guy, wants me to look up the numbers for 9/11. Well, Gio.
Yeah, we know who's coming, Gio.
News coverage. At least 80 million people watched at the end of the night, the coverage.
The nightly news that night?
Yeah.
Okay.
80 million. That's for you, Gio.
Thank you, Gio. Good contribution. I thought he meant, like, the action of it.
That's it surprised a lot
Gio
of people.
Had a heads up.
Yeah, it surprised a lot of people.
Last time I saw that, it was Shane Reardon in a media game.
All right. Well, on that note, it's probably time that, you know, it's a big deal, our partnership with Circa. You know, we love Stadium Swim. Yeah. Yeah, that's right, Danny. That's the point. And, you know, we could have been there, but unfortunately, I have a wedding to attend, so we're not going.
Wait, that's why we're not going?
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. I know. It makes me even less popular in these hallways. And you guys know how we do it in Vegas. It's very unprofessional. It's very late nights. I'm very hungover/drunk on the air. We drink on the air. There's a lot of stories. We meet Carrot Top. Things happen. So I can only assume that that's exactly what happened with Bernstein, Holmes, Rahimi, and Studs.
It's time for a Circa Las Vegas update with the Midday Show.
I'm actually reading a book that a listener sent me. It's a combination of nonfiction, ichthyological deep dives by a scientist naturalist.
That was your Circa Las Vegas update with the Midday Show.
Okay. No.
Okay.
Who is this, Tiesto?
Yeah. That's, wow. Sounds like it'd be a $100 cover charge to get into that club that none of them are going to.
You see what Bernstein was wearing today at the pool?
No.
Jeans, brother.
What was it, at 80 to something degrees?
87 is the high in Vegas today. Bernstein, a polo and jeans.
Oh, my God.
And they it's Hoka's. Try getting laid into that, Dan.
They had no cocktails on the air.
Nope.
Don't like that.
Nope.
That doesn't make any sense.
Nope. It was already noon by the time their show ended. You can't start a margarita at 11?
I mean, mimosas, a little screwdriver, a little Bloody Mary.
Yeah, I'm going to break it to you right now. When we're out there, I'm up at 6:30 Vegas time. I'm already like three Bloody Marys deep by the time that we start our show.
No, I know. Listen. We know.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, sorry, we do know, Shane.
Yeah.
I just started to find out like this.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. That's the worst kept secret anyway. I'm not expecting
my Bloody Mary Yeti.
I'm not expecting Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi to keep up with your pace or even mine. But, I mean, zero cocktails, reading books, leaving early on the Saturday morning flight by choice. Going hiking? Yeah. All right. Well, listen.
We do have one. We got another one. We got a couple more, but this one that just came in across the wire right now.
Okay.
It's time for a Circa Las Vegas update with the Midday Show.
I'm not going to be able to get this bet in, though. My dad texted me, and he wants $20 on Victor Hovland. Circa app.
That was your Circa Las Vegas update with the Midday Show. Ugh.
I mean,
oh man,
just the pain in his voice. The
sounds like a blast.
It sounds like a real blast.
He sent Studs down there with a crisp $20 bill to make the bet for his dad. By the way,
good for Studs for having a purpose.
Jesus Christ.
That's incredible, man. I can't figure out how to make a bet. Okay. That's amazing. Good for them. Listen, they're going to have fun. They're going to get stories tonight. It's going to be wild. Where they did Carson Kitchen. I saw that. That's great.
Yeah, Layla and Lawrence did that yesterday.
Okay.
Dan and Studs had major issues with the Southwest flight, apparently.
So, okay. Well, I'm sure the stories tonight will be wild, and we'll have more updates. I know we have more updates that we can get to later on this hour.
Yeah.
But I'm sure tomorrow's updates will be crazier and more Vegas-y, right? Yeah. They're easing in to their Vegas experience. That's what I can assume. I'm curious if you guys can relate to anything in like how you fell in love with a team or a sport in what I'm going to share coming up. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Nolan Cruz, what's your favorite fruit?
Pineapple. You know, I'm offended, just to be honest with you. Really offended by it. Yeah. I'm going to come for you. I think you should be canceled. I'm coming for everything you built.
Yeah.
I am disgusted, Danny.
Afternoons on the Score.
Bulls basketball coming your way in just a little bit. And I'm guessing many people became a fan of the Bulls because of Michael Jordan. And obviously, he was my favorite athlete as a kid. But I love the sport of basketball. I was a baseball fan. I was on the north side. It's just, we go to Wrigley, became a fan. Dad liked baseball, whatever. Tiger Woods single-handedly made me like golf. Can you guys credit like your White Sox fandom single-handedly to Frank Thomas? Or was it passed down by your mom, your dad, or whatever? Because like, maybe it's just because it's an individual sport, but every other sport I was drawn to by team or from like a person in my family, it's such a weird, rare thing to have. But I think Caitlin Clark is kind of doing it for people with women's basketball. So wondering if it's ever happened to you guys.
Yeah, so the White Sox were always in my family, my dad, my grandfather. So like the connection is built in there, but you really, it doesn't translate. It doesn't speak to you until you find your guy. So that's there why for me, it is Frank Thomas. You know, always and forever. So like that's like you, every fan, you know, you need that one guy or that one specific team to lure you in. You can do things out of tradition just because you do them, but you don't keep that fandom unless you have that one player usually that kind of reaches you on a different level.
And earliest for me, it was Maglio Ordonez. I was at a game, and same thing. Like, my dad passed down to me. He had season tickets at work, so we went all the time. But it was Maglio on a day that he hit a solo shot and a grand slam in the same game, and we were like four rows behind the White Sox dugout. He threw up one of his batting gloves, and my uncle caught it for me. So it was him, but then it was Paul Konerko. 2003 Fan Fest, I remember being pulled aside as a lucky kid who got to talk to Paul Konerko one-on-one just randomly, and that was it for me.
So that's interesting. So for me with the Cubs, it's Sammy Sosa.
Of course it is. That's Cheater.
But I think it would have happened anyway.
Exactly. It would. It just would have been a different guy.
Right. And so, or it just would have been the Cubs and baseball. You know what I mean? And so I feel like for you guys, it probably would have been the White Sox or whatever.
Well, that's why to me, Frank is so unique because Frank looked like superhuman out there.
Right.
Hitting the baseball like as hard and as far as he did. Like, it's someone built like that. This is like, this guy doesn't look like anyone else out there. So that was part of the appeal for me as like 9-10 year old, you know.
But for you with golf, you're saying like it was Tiger. It wouldn't have been Freddie Couples.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I think is unique to what Tiger did for the sport is Matt, 97. I'm 11 years old. My dad didn't play golf. Golf wasn't in my, in my upbringing. Brad didn't play golf. I become obsessed with Tiger Woods and golf. And then after my bar mitzvah when I was 13, my dad's brother played. And he was like, come out to Colorado and I'll teach you a little bit about it. And so like that was like my bar mitzvah present. I flew out to Colorado and played golf with my uncle a couple of times. Became obsessed with the game. But it's solely tracked to one person. Like Mark O'Meara or David Duvall or whatever was not going to get me hooked on an entire sport. It's I don't know. Maybe it's like if you're a fan of a team, you know, if Deion Sanders made you a fan or like if all of your family is Knicks fans, but Michael Jordan made you a fan, that would be more of like an apt comparison for the team sports.
I think that's why we're all Bears fans, right? Because Bears, like if that's like football, the ultimate team game. Not many guys, you know, over the years.
It's your birthplace. It's geography. It's your friends. It's city pride.
Which ironically makes it so hard to quit them.
Can't quit him.
I think there's also something to be said about Tiger Woods when he's done will be the only unequivocal GOAT of any sport. There's zero argument to be made that anyone in the history of golf is better than Tiger Woods was at the beginning, at his prime, at the end.
See, I mean, you're right.
In terms of records, championships, everything.
But Jack Nicklaus won more majors. Sam Snead won more tournaments.
But they never had the separation that Tiger has over everyone else.
Definitely. And in comparison of the eras and all of that, like, you know, I don't think there's an argument with Wayne Gretzky in hockey. There's like there may be a few more that you could throw in there. But in terms of an individual's impact on a sport, I think that is where there's no comparison. No one person meant more to one sport than Tiger Woods meant to golf, including Jordan to basketball. And that's obviously a significant statement to make. But that had Bird and Magic. It had LeBron. It had Kobe. So many guys would make the NBA what it was. But Tiger to golf is just like this singular force. And there's still something to him teeing off at Augusta during the show. But it feels like it's a good time for another. Let's just see how it was with day one of Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi in Vegas.
It's time for a Circa Las Vegas update with the Midday Show.
You can't complain. Studs has set the vibe appropriately in Adidas slides, yellow tank, and flamingo pool shorts.
I'll wait till you guys see tomorrow's get up.
That was your Circa Las Vegas update with the Midday Show.
This is a wild time. Studs is bringing the party from his suite. He should. He should live it up.
Oh, no.
He was promising me, man, that it was going to get crazy.
What a load of fun they are.
They're having fun, I'm sure, in their own very special way.
Whoever said they should move Nick Wright's wedding to Studs' suite today during Crosstalk, I don't remember who it was, but that one's going to live rent-free in my head.
I think that was Lawrence.
Yeah, it was a good line. It was a good line. I would have loved to have been out there. Tough that these two things fell on the same weekend. I cannot wait to go. I'm flying to Kansas City tomorrow morning around noon, whatever, and can't wait to be there. But, man, yeah, we'll go. We'll go again. And we'll inject.
We'll see, man.
We'll inject our level of degenerate fun.
Yeah, you sound like the parent. Like Disney World's going to be there next year, guys.
I
okay?
know.
Yeah, and then COVID happens. Yeah, you know right. exactly. You never right. know when that's going to happen again. Still out there.
It's true. It's true. It's okay. Come on, it's going to be fine, guys. It's going to be fine.
There's plenty of other cool things to do in Orlando. Okay, we don't have to go to Disney yeah. World.
Hey, audience, who has more to live for in terms of Vegas? Me and Tanny or Danny and Speaks? Who needs that Vegas thing a little bit more, audience?
I don't know. I'm pretty boring out there, but boy, do I love it.
Yeah, but you appreciate it so yeah. much. Dan, like, actively loathes it. So just your appreciation and love of it, and like you're like always down to book a reservation early. You've got an idea of an activity that you can do. Like you're not like the degenerate Vegas guy.
Hey, who loves planning in Las Vegas, huh? Who loves the guy who plans?
We love an itinerary.
I know, but I'm just saying you're not. Yeah, listen. I'm not saying you'd be a first round pick in my Vegas draft. But I'm just. Okay, but you're still a good hangout.
Let's get out of here.
I bitched Bernstein out in the hallway yesterday because he openly said in front of everyone, including like Porth, myself, Ray, people who are not going, that he had no interest. And I bitched his ass out.
Good for you. Good for you.
Guy's got to get out in the sun. He looks like a marshmallow.
Let's see. What do we got? We have Bryson DeChambeau is your leader in the clubhouse, 7-under 65. Scottie Scheffler is winning this tournament. He fired a 66 at 6-under. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Danny Willett at 4-under. But Bryson and Scheffler would be a hell of a pairing on a Sunday at Augusta if they somehow can keep it close. They're going to need Bryson to bring his A game a couple of days in a row. We had some awesome guests on the show today. Kevin Clark, I think, just does such a fantastic job with new media stuff and football. He was our guest for polls position today. He was excellent. Barry Rosner, just waxing poetic. No, you think of Barry is complaining. He's a curmudgeon. He's criticizing. His love letter to his 3 days at Augusta, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week at 3:40 today was absolutely worth checking out. And Dave Wanstead, of course, was incredible. Every time he's on, we learn something new, including the story of his five-figure watch that he was gifted for attending a charity event. It's just different being Dave Wanstead. Thank you to Kevin Lapka and Connor O'Donnell. Twitch chat, video stream. Thank you, sir. Bulls basketball follows us. Shane Reardon is our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Fantastic work with the Goodfellas treatment to O.J. Simpson. Share that with people. Tell people to check it out on the podcast page or the Odyssey Rewind app. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. Well, it's been quite a week. You know,
it's done. It's over now. Down goes Murdoch. I'm just saying. Take care.